The Digital Head Voice podcast is brought to you by MedTech World in collaboration with Digital Health Malta. Episode number 18. And today with us we have Dr. Sana Farid. So Sana is a surgeon in training, but most of all, and that's what really intrigued us today, she is the chair of the MENA chapter of the VR-AR Association, which is a global association. And she is also the chair of the Headcare Committee within the same VR-AR Association. And we're so happy to talk to her today. And with that in mind, we dive deep into the interview. So welcome, Dr. Sana. Welcome to our podcast. Now we are in our, we are in 18th podcast. Wow. And we're really getting closer to our 20th one, which is quite a milestone, I would say. But Sana, this conversation is not about the podcast, but it's about you. And I've heard so much about you, Sana, through my colleagues, Dylan and Ryan. And also because I've been hearing a lot about the VR-AR Association. And I actually, the first time I heard about the VR-AR Association was from Poland, funnily enough. And where this same association is growing there as well. But then I hear that it's growing also in the Middle East region, so in the MENA. And that is so amazing that the chapter is being led by a surgeon in training. How wonderful can that be? Because when you see that healthcare individuals, like individuals involved in healthcare, start leading this, then, you know, you get intrigued nonetheless. And I want to ask you, Sana, like, what's your digital health journey? What brought you here with us today?
Thank you so much for having me with you, Stefan. It's such a pleasure to be working with you and Sigma. My digital health journey, so I've always been passionate about technology in general and what are the future trends coming up. And since I got into the medical field, you understand how busy our lives become with the emergency duties and the surgical operation routine and all of that. So when I wanted to keep my passion for learning the new innovations, this is how I got into self-education, learning more and more about what are the emerging trends, how can technology, which is moving at such a fast pace, how can we as professionals in any field or in any sector can use these available tools to improve our own sector? In healthcare in general, all over the world, and especially when I started working in a hospital, I realized that there are tremendous opportunities in various areas. Whether we talk about educating the future doctors and nurses, the paramedics, or improving the skills of the already accomplished professionals, or if we move on to the patient care side. So I feel that there are various challenges in all of these areas, and all of them, to be honest, there can be well studied and tackled by the use of innovative tools. So this is how I started my journey. I was learning from people from all over the world, either through direct meetings or from their own books, their videos across the internet, their training courses across the internet, to help us understand what are the technologies that can be very beneficial in the healthcare industries. And then further, I tried to learn what are the best ways that we can implement these technologies, what are the skills that we need to learn, what are the steps that we need to follow to ensure that our time and our investment in these tools is being fulfilled in the right way. And most importantly, the most important part was to actually improve the quality of the work we are delivering.
Wow, curiosity. I love that. I love that, Sana, because, I mean, but in your case, it's not just curiosity, but it's curiosity like coupled with, and I really love the word that you used here, self-education. Because right now, at least many people that I know working in digital health, most of the time did self-education. They taught themselves. There wasn't like a special training program for doctors in digital health. I don't think that's a global reality as yet. We still have to do a lot of work there for doctors to be fully trained specifically in digital health. Now I've started hearing of different programs around the world, but it's not the common thing. And that's why it's so great to hear from you, how you've took your like your destiny into your hands, you know, and started developing this. So now, like, it's quite a story you have there. I'd like to hear a bit more about the VR-AR Association. And you mentioned the head committee. And I'd like to know, like, have you ever worked, for example, with a healthcare organization as a VRAR association? How is that developing? Tell us more about it. I'm really, really, really intrigued and so great to hear it from a doctor, fellow doctor.
Initially, you have described it very well that VRAR association is spreading across the world. So yes, this is the VRAR association today is recognized as the world's largest association working in immersive technologies. We are spread across the globe in numerous chapters in different cities, different countries. So, and further that than that, we have over 4,300 organizations on board. When an organization gets on board, all of the members of these organizations get the benefits of being members of the VRAR Association. And I'm going to come to the members, to the benefits and the offerings that we deliver. So basically the organization, the VRAR organization, was created to accelerate the growth, to build awareness, and to build industry standards around the use of immersive technology across various areas. Just like you have mentioned, we don't necessarily have the right learning tools and the right communicating tools when we talk about emerging tech. Why? Because it's emerging. We are the ones, when we work in a certain thing, we are contributing to building this industry. So with the collaboration of a few visionaries around the world who are very passionate about immersive technologies, the association was created. And very quickly, or not very quickly, but with a lot of effort, with a lot of dedication, with a lot of activities around the globe, today we are largely spread across the world. One number I can give you is that the newsletter is shared with over 70,000 individuals. So that can give you an idea about how large the association is. So who is on board?
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that? What is shared by 70,000, you said?
The newsletter goes to 70,000
the newsletter.
Members.
Oh, lovely. All right.
These members are professors. They can be students, educators, business owners, enthusiasts, doctors and surgeons, people working in oil and gas industry, in aviation industry, whoever is passionate about immersive technology and wants to learn about what's happening around the world, who is doing what is the research being done, what are the case studies that are happening. What do we do inside the association is that we have a number of committees in various sectors. We have the healthcare committee, education, training, entertainment and gaming, oil and gas, aviation, and whatnot. We have a number of activities. Together we meet frequently, either weekly or bi-weekly or monthly. We understand the latest trends, we share ideas. So when you're joining the association or when you're joining any of our discussion, you will hear actually from people who are, one, they're very, very passionate about what they do, and they're very knowledgeable over the years. So you're getting very meaningful information. And step by step, we also have companies connected with each other. So whenever the need is rising for an opportunity to create a specialized program in education or training or retail, for example, using immersive technology. So basically, this was the idea behind the VRAR Association. And today we run a number of activities across the world. And all year round, we have a number of online activities, such as the Education Forum, which is actually happening right now. And we have two or more physical summits as well, which is branded as the Immerse Global Summit. And we encourage people from all over the world to join our activities and learn from the best people in the field.
Wow, 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 wow. Quite a lot to absorb, but I'd love to hear more about the healthcare committee. Like, are you working with hospitals already? Like, what's happening there? Is there anything that we can know yes. about?
The committees are very active in terms of, so as I said, why are we joined in this committee in the first place, or in the association in the first place? One is that we already are passionate about it, and we are the ones who are going to be building the industry standards. We need to be the ones who are spreading the right information, and which means that we need to be working hand in hand, which we already do. So working hand in hand means that we are collaborating with various institutes, medical universities, nursing universities, government entities such as, let's say, for example, Ministry of Health, for example, or other regulatory bodies or nonprofit organizations. We are brainstorming together. We are providing to them consultancy whenever they're interested to get on board immersive technology. So artificial intelligence, extended reality, XR, or let's say the metaverse, these are very common buzzwords or keywords in today's times. And likewise, on the other hand, with the changing times, governments across the world are interested to improve their offerings and get along the race of innovation. So in order to help them that, this is where the role of the association comes, which is ensuring that these entities will be getting the right person to guide them, to consult them, to design their programs, to help them conduct nationwide programs, etc., and give them basically the right type of knowledge in the field.
Wow. All right. So that's really exciting and so great that you're working with all these different organization and even, you know, government. It's quite intriguing to see how the government is working with organizations like yours. So I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to learn much, much more about it. But let's get to the bigger picture here, Sana. And my big question to you, colleague, would be, what does the future look like for digital health and medtech, and how does the VR and AR association fit into the picture? How do you see, you know, I've heard so much about VR, AR, you know, like even extended reality through different colleagues, through different even, you know, inspirational figures as well, even other surgeons as well. And my big question to you would be like, how do you see it fitting all in? Do you see, you know, like what's your bigger picture here? Like how do you imagine, for example, your surgical consultation to change in the next 5 to 10 years? Do you see it, you know, virtual reality being an immersive part of that experience, or augmented reality? Like tell us your vision. You know, now is the time, you know, to kind of think ahead and start imagining, if not imagining, telling us about what worked and maybe what didn't work. Like, tell us, inspire us.
That's a great question, Stefan, but it's a very broad question. Let me break it down into
Yes, it is, it is. go for it.
Healthcare is one of the most influenced fields by technologies like AI, big data, 5G, or any technology. Healthcare always has a big chunk of any emerging technology. On the other hand, it's good to have this discussion right now after we are like 2.5 years past COVID-19 and the world knows how big and how sort of challenging healthcare is still. Even when we're talking about massive exponential technologies, we did live pretty challenging times in the healthcare industry as a whole and globally. Whether you're a first world country or you're a third world country, it was a challenging time, which means this is a red alert for all of us. And I think the biggest role here definitely goes to the healthcare providers, the paramedics, doctors, nurses, even the future students and in health sciences. The future, as I see it, or as I see today's world, we are very much influenced by the trends that are ongoing. So we are used to social media, we see a video probably, or we hear a podcast and we're influenced by that. We read one line in a book and we're influenced by that. I think the trend nowadays is no longer conducting ages of research and, you know, studies and long courses, but we might be influenced by one word coming from a very visionary and a very well-spoken person. So I think this is an opportunity that we need to tackle. How I see this happening and where I actually see everything is merging together is I actually see, and I witness this on everyday basis, is that various organizations are actually coming together hand in hand, whether government or private, whether in this country or in neighboring countries or all around the world. We are sort of aiming to, as one human nation, we're aiming to come closer together. Collaboration is easier than ever. We are both in different continents and in different time zones, but we're having this conversation. And it could have been very, very meaningful if this is related to a patient or their healthcare condition. The role of influencers or technology enthusiasts or futurists, if that's the right word to call them, is that they help build the right awareness. Technology is new for everyone. It's especially new for people who are sitting at home or just receiving the care, for the patients, for the elderly, for the people who are developing them. It's new for everyone. I think it's a responsibility to spread the right type of awareness about technology instead of spreading the rumors and focusing on the myths and focusing on the negativity. That one thing, for example, could be that, you know, bots are taking over the healthcare communication system, which instead of promoting it in a negative way, I think that can be a very positive way, because more and more patients will be addressed, able to receive care. So I think the future is about, or how we can shape the future is about, we need to accept the changes that are coming to us. Whatever change is coming in technology, in the way future is shaping, in the way robots and AI is collaborating or invading our lives, we have to accept this as a fact rather than stopping it. Once we as professionals start to accept this, we will be helping to spread the bigger word among our elder, like if I can say my consultants and those who are senior than me in my field of work. And then step by step, they will be able to impact or influence the bigger leadership, let's say the ministries and the government. And then the role will be coming to the entire public and the nation that this is the trend, this is how life is going to be. So the best we can do is we accept it. Once we have accepted it, what is the next step is that we have to find ways. Maybe we have to build ways to better make use of these technologies. If my system in my hospital is shifting towards telemedicine or teleconsultation, I very often, and again, on daily basis, I do see patients complaining about the difficulty of the system and the challenges that they have to use it. I think our job is to make it as easy as possible for them. Instead of talking big about technology, I like to talk about simply the communication tools. I think this is the most important thing we need to improve. The first thing that we should be communicating with anybody is that calm down, and all of the tools that we will be using from now onwards is only going to help us. Have that patience and have that confidence in technology, because the confidence is not actually on the tool, it's on me as an expert putting this tool to the best use of my field, in whichever field I am. So I think the spread of the positive word is essential. And at the same time, keep yourself updated with whatever technology is coming, whatever is available for free. There are various platforms available, various content available to learn from. And we do actually have a lot of information that we can spread. And I'm not talking about anything related to commercials. I'm not talking about investment into massive equipments or instruments here. I'm talking about basic human communication. And I think it's the time that we need to change the mindset to be adaptable, to be resilient, to be open-minded about technologies and the future of works and healthcare in general.
Whew. Wow. You know, like it's, I gave you a challenging question, but you gave me even more to absorb and digest, you know, and like when you mentioned all those things, you know, one thing struck me there, like this positive communication, you know, starting to focus on the positive aspects. And I even was, I was thinking as well a bit, like one of the biggest challenges and especially the biggest challenges of digital health, you know, is this, let's say, what is being known as the growing digital divide. But in reality, the digital divide is also an opportunity for us to reach an even wider audience. That means that before, when we used to possibly design healthcare for a certain age group, now we can design healthcare for multiple age groups with different needs and different technologies available for them. So we have something now magical, I would say, an opportunity to hit an even wider audience. And I really believe in what you said, because positive communication at the end of the day leads into trust. And at the end of the day, the biggest thing that we want to achieve is trust. Trust in emerging technologies. Trust in innovation. Trust in the process, which sometimes can be complicated. It's not really straightforward sometimes implementing new innovations, but there needs to be trust built from the very beginning. That means that if something doesn't work out, we communicate that and we say, what have we learned from that? That's something so meaningful, at least how I see it. But you've said it even better than me. But now there's an opportunity, Dr. Sana, to think, I'm going to give you 1 minute to focus on something that is you're very passionate about and that you would like to raise awareness on. It doesn't have to be anything in healthcare. It can be related to any other interesting topic or any other interesting theme, or maybe a charity that you would like to raise awareness on. That's really up to you. So with that in mind, 1 minute to you, Sana.
Yes. Whenever I have like an open question, I think, again, my biggest opinion or the best thing that I think I can give out to anybody of any age, of any background, is that to be open-minded about innovations and to accept change as it is coming, not to be obstructive in the way of the change, because this is something that is going to invade our lives no matter what. And if you see the time that we're living today, we have massive exponential technologies, more than we have ever had before. We have more and more universities and, you know, professors and experts in every field, more than we have ever had before, which only concludes to that with every time, with every year passing by, with every new innovation, time does change for the better only. It does take us time to realize that. When the change is happening, it's not pleasant, it's not easy for anybody, not even for me. However, it is even challenging when all I hear from around me is that, you know, I wanted to see my doctor my doctor face to face, but I can't, and I'm so depressed about that. Instead, let's spread the word that if I am able to save 10 minutes of my doctor's time and see them virtually, or communicate with them virtually. That means my doctor gets an extra 10 minutes to see and help another patient. It's as simple as that. I think we have to be hungry to find ways to see where innovation is leading us for good. And I can't, you know, I can talk about this the whole day, and still it's not going to be enough, because the negativity that is spread about innovation is really a lot. I see everybody is talking about challenges of social media, you know, consequences of using virtual reality. You know, the gap when we include bots in our system. And I disagree with all of them. When we allow technology to help me in conducting tedious tasks, it helps me as a person, as a human, to be able to reach more and more people. And these more and more people can be in remote areas, can be where people are not even aware of them, can be in completely different countries. So I think the whole focus should not be on which technology, what tool is available, what is the update, should be on the impact. What can I do today to help one additional person in any way possible, even if it's a nice word of mouth? I think this is the best I can say.
What can I do to help one additional person? Love it, love it, love it, love it. You know, it's like, what can I do to help one additional person? It's not like a huge goal, but what can I do to help at least one more person? So if usually I help 2 people, what can I do to help 3? If I usually help 5, what can I do to help 6? We're not asking like 60 from 6, but 6. And I think that's something that we can work on, not in 10 years time, but today. And I love your passion, and I love how important it is to focus on the positive aspect of technology. We kind of get sometimes overwhelmed by the negative, let's say the negative aspect, or what can go wrong. And sometimes all of this can really overshadow what can be done great, or what can be done really well, you know, and what can scale even. Like, you know, sometimes I start wondering that we have lost our imagination sometimes because we're so engrossed, like we're so lost in what can go wrong. Sometimes we forget what we can do, what we can imagine. Quite a challenging topic, but oh, I have to remember, I have to be a bit more positive. And with that in mind, Sana, you won't believe it, but we've arrived to the end of the podcast. Wow. And I'd like to remind our audience to definitely check out Dr. Sana's profile on LinkedIn. We'll be also posting something below in the YouTube comments. And we'll also be also posting some show links in our podcast entry and podcast title. So I highly encourage you to follow us on all our podcast channel. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Overcast, you name it, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast. Whew. But you can even follow us on our social channels of MedTech World. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram. We're pretty much everywhere. Maybe we'll have to look about TikTok, but I'll have to talk to Dylan about that. But with that in mind, thank you, thank you, thank you, Sana. I love your positivity. I love your energy. But most of all, I like your background. It's really awesome. I love those triangles going like that. And I have to admit that I was like wondering what's on the shelf in your background. And I hope that the next time I see you, Sana, and the next time I see you with that background, maybe we should have like a VR headset behind you, you know, or why not? So that's your job to do, like to have like something which is really, really, and to make it really normal after all, to make the VR and all the technology which is available normal. With that in mind,
thank you so Sana, much, and goodbye. It was a pleasure.